Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to touch on a couple of items that have been going on. So I am going to add, and I'll upload it on the site. I'm recording this late on Monday night, so this will be your Tuesday podcast. I am going to update the draft board a little bit tomorrow. I want to add a couple of wide receivers, and I did some more studying today of just some situational stuff that I think we could maybe exploit. So a couple of names that I'm probably going to add to the board. I didn't include a ton of day three wide receivers because I didn't want to get the wrong impression about AOD. Some guys that I'm going to add, though, include Romeo Doubs out of Nevada going to Green Bay. Also, Khalil Shakir from Boise State going to the Bills. I'm going to add them down kind of that fourth round range. They're more of like a look-see type situation, more than anything really there. I think both of them you could point to and say, hey, listen, there's opportunities there. Maybe a potential wide receiver three spot for the Bills. All the sort of opportunity for Green Bay. Again, if you're anti-Christian Watson, a guy like Doubs had some support in the draft community as well. Could potentially be interesting there. Again, he's a 132nd overall pick. I think that's different than being 243, for example. I think there's a big difference there, even though historically we know 5, maybe 10% shot. I think he's an interesting one that there's just enough opportunity there and just enough uncertainty that we know what Aaron Rodgers can do. So I'm going to add both those guys to the board. That'll be out in a 3.0 edition at some point, probably midday on Tuesday. So be on the lookout for that, and that'll be there. So the rest of the stuff that I wanted to look at really is looking at some of your rookie draft board stuff. We've got enough sample here, 20 or so drafts that are off in some way, shape, or form as I'm recording this, that I think we have a pretty good idea what's going on. It's Hall at the top. It's Walker at two. There's a good chance that Walker is available later than that, though. And I've seen him, and I've from anecdotes that he's been available at three, at four, at five, in that range. I've seen that. I've heard those stories. We've seen this in the data as well. I get the impression that Drake London is really your wide receiver one. Again, I like Drake London. I was kind of hoping that he would be going wide receiver 4 or 5 off of rookie draft boards, and we'd have a bunch of them. Probably not going to have a ton of them up at the top there. Just not a ton of picks in that range by design and by competition. Just not a ton there. But I did sort for 104. Availability at 104. Again, you can do this in the rookie draft board. So if you're kind of picking at a spot, you're wondering, hey, you know, what's the possibility so-and-so is going to be available here? 104, 40% shot, Kenneth Walker's there for what that's worth. 60% shot, Drake London's there. So you're really looking like Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, really consolidating up there. They're basically the residual at 2 and 3. Essentially, it's those guys. There's some additional stuff like Jameson Williams up there as well. But really, and a little bit of Kenny Pickett, but really it's Walker, London, Wilson, Burks, and to a little bit lesser degree, Jameson Williams up there, really kind of consolidating that 2-3 spot into the 4 spot there. So, again, I think that opens up a situation like Jameson Williams at 107, wide receiver 4. That's interesting. Olave, wide receiver 5. That's interesting. Sky Moore at 6 at 110. That's interesting. Watson, the same as Sky Moore. I think if you can move from Garrett Wilson at 105 to a 108, 109, somewhere in there, that's fine. Like I think if you can do that, if you could pick up a second this year, that's great. If you could pick up a second next year, great. If you could pick up a veteran player in that move, that's great. I doubt you're probably getting the first for that move, but you could try, you know, and be creative in your packages of that. Those are difficult to pull off, but I wouldn't just write it off. Give it a shot. What the hell? So that would be sort of my thought there. Again, I think that later first round, that Jameson Williams, Olave, Sky Moore, Christian Watson, James Cook range of the position is super interesting. As you look forward, into the draft. Malik Willis at 112. That's just the last like three, four days. That's it. Quarterback two. I got better things that I can do with that pick. Take George Pickens before you do that, right? If you're trying to look for a long-term bet, take George Pickens. I mean, Jahan Dotson's a first-round wide receiver, and he's going at 203. I mean, that's a clear target for me. And listen, I understand there might be some questions about it. Take the first-round wide receiver that's in round two of rookie drafts. Like, that is a rule that we should follow. That is historically a good bet. That is something that we should do. And so that will be something that I will be doing if he gets to me in the second round. Some other ones there, Trey McBride. Again, the default sort here is looking for some tight end premium stuff. He's going at 205. Feels a slight bit rich. I was hoping for a little bit later. That later part of the second round, Rashad White, mid part of the second round, 206. That's interesting there. I am more interested in probably him over McBride because I think there's more outs in the near term. McBride really does feel like it's going to be tough for him to really make a difference here in the nearish term, where I think White could make that difference. You look down further, Zamir White as well is down later in round two. He's one I think that's interesting as you sort of get further along there. Brian Robinson, I think in the second round makes for an interesting selection as well. You are going to get a potential injury away guy that, listen, I think has some two-way ability. And not a hugely productive guy because there was all of the guys in front of him along the way, but I think he's we've seen enough of him that he has a two-way ability, both rushing and receiving, enough that, listen, that can fly fantasy-wise. And if that's going to be an injury-away guy, I don't know what the reason for the – I don't know why – Washington is not convinced on Antonio Gibson, but they made a point to bring back J.D. McKissic after he was essentially signed with Washington, with the Bills. They met with everyone in the process, right? We don't get a ton of information on whether it's personality, on development issues and the like there. We don't get a ton of that information. However, when we get a situation like this where the news is pretty consistent in our face about a specific situation, I think we have to adjust to that and really have to take that as informative of what we don't know. And that's really my a little bit of my pause there with him, with Gibson. You know, Robinson's right there in the middle of the second round. That's I think a good spot. It's ahead of Zamir White. And it's really behind guys like Rashad White as well. It's behind Isaiah Spiller. And again, I wouldn't go Spiller that high. I would go Rashad White, Brian Robinson in some order there, and then Spiller behind them. Again, you're playing base rates, right? You can't put Spiller ahead of those guys. I have a hard time doing that. And so I think really Robinson's a good opportunity there. That mid-second's fine. And then if Damian Pierce is available later than that, I think that's good too. You know, so I really think you're going to get into the second round, even the later part of the second round. Zamir White, right? There's that population of guys is pretty good, whether it's Rashad White, Brian Robinson, Pierce, Zamir White. Those guys are and then Spiller, right? Those five guys into the second round. That's pretty nice. Again, later on than that, maybe David Bell. He's probably the receiver I'd be interested in there. And if McBride falls to the end of that group, great, right? That's a pretty good second round, right? All told, like, if you're complaining about this class, you really have to have your complaint up at the top of the board because the second round's pretty nice. You're getting day two running backs. You're getting prototypically sized early day three running backs that have clear injury away roles. Tyler Algier as well, a little bit later on the board, but he's one in here that's not coming off the board yet just because a lot of drafts aren't in the round where I'm sorting, aren't in around three and the like there. But he's one that I think is really interesting as well, right? again, this is a class that in that range is really nice. So taking multiple shots in the second round. That's why I don't mind trading down and add to second this year. That's fine. Like, we're going to get a shot at a guy we like and not really be able to break ties along the way. I'm more and more convinced that I think that's a really good opportunity to do. It's going to feel very much the same in start one versus super flex, I think. You're going to get, obviously, in that, I think in that later part of the first round into the second round, you're going to get the quarterbacks in super flex that you're probably not going to get in your start one drafts as much. Those guys are going to go later. So that's probably the key difference there. A couple spots, you're going to bump everyone up. But this isn't a situation like last year where you've got five guys going in the top 10 of rookie drafts and really distorting the data and distorting your marketplaces. It's going to feel very much the same. I think a lot of it is going to feel the same. And I don't think at cost, which is really in that late first round range where Willis and Ritter are going off, sort of right sandwiching the turn there, and Corral a little bit later in the second round. We're not going to probably be in on a ton of those guys at those costs. We're not going to get a ton of those shares, right? The odds that one of those guys is a big time success story from that range is small, right? Davis Mills is a success from that range. And I like Davis Mills. I'm actually actively rooting for him because I think it's a cool story. That said, it's not super fantasy viable. So again, we can like Ritter, but at 112 for Willis, at 202 for Ritter, that's too much for me. 210 for Corral. If I'll tell you I'll give you the pitch on Corral, right? You get to 301. And Zamir White's off the board. Damian Pierce is off the board. The other quarterbacks are off the board. I haven't done the math on the plausibility of this, if this could actually occur, but just sort of go with me for a second. Basically, your five round two running backs are off the board. You've also got Trey McBride off the board. I could see myself taking the third one of that group and saying, all right, we could take Corral there. I could see that happening. Otherwise, I have a really hard time thinking I'm going to be in a ton of these guys, right? Because after him, it's Zamir White, it's Damian Pierce are going after him right now. Again, there's a way this board breaks where Corral's the last one of that tier in play. I think that would be a situation where I'd want him more than ahead of a guy like Zamir White or Damian Pierce, just because I think they offer live outs where I'm not really sure that Corral's going to get an opportunity. And even if he does, I'm not sure how much I love Carolina. And all of a sudden it looks very much like a dead man walking situation a year from now. I don't really love that. So again, that would be probably going to have to force one of those guys into the third round for me to really be interested. I think that's been a question that's been asked. I think that's really how I feel about it. So, Jahan Dotson, second round really for me is Jahan Dotson, then the running backs, those core of five, McBride, and then probably your last quarterback is really going to be the way that plays out. Pickens, I think, is going to go earlier than that and probably not going to be super in play for that range. Again, I think Watson and Sky Moore and Cook are really going to be the last of that first round tier there that I've talked about, that group of like nine guys. They're going to be the last ones there in the end of the first, second round there. Again, I like the way the back half of that round settles. Guys like Burks, Wilson, that I'm not super in love with going early on the board, that's great, pushes the guys down. Again, so if you can move from 104 to anywhere in that later part of the first round, pick up a second, you might even be able to get more than that, right? I would explore all those options because I think that's very lucrative this year. I've got some depth options in this. I always keep second round picks around if I can, just because I think especially in a class like this, it looked like there was going to be a chance for some depth in the whether it was day two into the early day three range. We got that, and I think this is a good chance to really bang away, try and increase depth at the running back position in particular. Someone asked me, I do occasionally, and I haven't been doing them as much just because it can be very much like, oh, which side of this trade do you like? Where it's not really the conversation I'm trying to get after. I think people ask me, how do you, should I trade Jonathan Taylor? I don't have any depth on my team. Like, absolutely not, right? The way to treat an ear infection is not to amputate your foot, right? That's not the way to do it. how do you build depth? The way to build depth is this, right? Just banging away at good base rates bets, right? Good banging away at these profiles. When you get the opportunity to take an extra shot in a rookie draft, do it, right? It's we see this in the NFL draft. Like the Jets trade up for running back. The Bills trade down twice and then take James Cook, right? Again, that's do those day three picks make the Bills? I'm not sure, but it's shots. It's live outs. Same thing that we're doing, right? Again, it not super. We're a little bit FM picks in terms of, hey, we can use them to get competitive pieces. But at the same time, I don't want to make when I have them. We have a hard time sorting between players. Let other people sort of pay for that, right? You be the tax collector on other people's hubris. And I think that this is the class to absolutely do that in the first round and then collect some shots here in the second and then the third round. I really like that range of the draft. I like the class. I know other people don't like the class. I was on with John Hogue. He was like, I hate the class. It's like, I don't like, you know, you basically have right about the average number of guys that meet the pedigree threshold for the first two rounds of rookie drafts. So that's fine. It's like 21 guys historically. It's basically like round four running backs, like top two rounds, roughly. It's like, I think top 66 picks at wide receiver or something like that. 122 at running back. So call it first four rounds at running back. And then it's like the top 40 picks basically tight ends wise, and that kind of gives you your group of guys that are historically first round first and second round skill position guys on average, and that's like right about at the average number. So again, you don't like it, you don't necessarily love it at the top. Only one guy really qualifies as having a top three resume in terms of his just pure draft pedigree looking at it like that, but a lot of guys in that four through six range, and even in the back half of the first round, they qualify there. So some good depth there. So again, if you can take multiple shots in the range, I'd do it instead of taking one shot. And I think this is a good way to flesh out the depth of your roster. This is a good class to do it in, right? Because you're not losing on a ton of ceiling bets. I don't think you're taking a lot more floor bets and some, you know, some more contributor type bets than you really are taking core or star bets early on at running back or at quarterback. And this is the bet where you say, all right, well, let's see if we can go, you know, multiple contributors, you know, one contributor for multiple contributors, right? That's a really good process to think about in this if you're using the hierarchy and the hierarchy of assets type of thinking to this process. So that'll do it for this episode. Again, I am optimistic, and I think that we've got plenty of opportunity trading down, getting seconds this year, banging away at those big five running backs in the second round. Absolutely. And just going to take some shots, you know. I also don't think I mentioned Ty Davis Price in that. So he would actually qualify in that range as well. So I don't think I mentioned him. So just for way of the record, I the running backs that I mean are the running backs on in the tiers of the draft, the rookie draft board. I don't think I mentioned his name, so just I do want to put a fine point on that, so that anyone listening can understand what I'm saying. Brian Robinson, Rashad White, Isaiah Spiller, Damian Pierce, Ty Davis Price, and Zamir White are really the guys that are sort of in that range for me. And then after that is really where I'd put the quarterback. So I actually moved Zamir White into that tier four. So it gives you an idea there what we're thinking. And the more I sort of think about this, there's a little bit of I think he fits there better with guys like Pierce and Spiller as well. So that's really your core six guys in the second round. Again, Pickens, I think, is going to go ahead of that. And then you're looking at McBride. And then I think at the beginning of the next round, it's really if one of those quarterbacks fall, that's where it's going to be. So I think I kind of fleshed out that area of the board. So your core six second round running backs there, lots of opportunity to bang away. It's base rate stuff and get that edge there. So that'll do it for this episode. I hope this helps the core five running backs up to the course six round two running backs there. So we got our numbers right, and that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.